טוב, בוקר טוב, הנס 44th day of ספירת העומר, טוב, שין סמך, זיין, מצוי, יום ירושלים, and we're here on that Yud Dalet today, but we here are still on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and still trying desperately to catch up, and we're only about halfway down, unfortunately. Right? And we got further than that? No, we did not. So we got up to Rava Omar. Alright, so we're about three lines down from the middle. Rava Omar, Ta'amayu de Beit Shammai, De'in Isur Chal Al Isur. Remember that yesterday we were trying to figure out, I think we are going to have to look for another location. This is the Chinese water torture. So yesterday we were trying to find out what do we do about the psukim that seem to be mashma, litzora, certainly mashma on the surface, that there is a concept of tzora. It's true that we could use it to tell me Reb Shimon's halacha, and it's referring to two sisters that fall to Yibum, and so certainly the most likely explanation of litzora is that it's coming to introduce a concept of a co-wife. And then for Beit Shammai to ignore that posik and instead use it for whatever other drushes we've spoken about before, there's got to be a reason to do that. Either another source, the way Rebbe had it, or that he disagrees with the whole concept because he has a basis to disagree with the whole concept. So yesterday we said perhaps that basis is, according to Reb Shimon ben Pazi, that the Torah itself says that Tzarot or Mutarot in the Posek of Eshita Meita Chutzah. We ended up going through all of the permutations of Chutzah, Achutzah, what could it mean? Is it an adjective? Is it basically a verb and a prepositional phrase? And we ended up with a possible explanation, which boiled down to machlokas b'shamay b'sil, about whether you darsh the hayam achutzah or not, the first hay. Today, Rava wants to offer an alternative. Rava says the reason that Beit Shammai holds that there is no concept called tzarat erva is because ein isur chal al isur. That it must be, the reason is that in cases where the kirva, now this is what we thought this meant. We're going to find out that it means something more fundamental and simple. But what we thought that it meant is that it's impossible for the iser that is a result of something that comes not through the actual blood relationships, but through marriage, that it's impossible for an iser to be chal later, such as Achot Isha, that couldn't be chal on a pre-existing Isser of Eshetach. So since it wouldn't be chal at all, remember we have a general question all over the Torah, whether Isser is chal or Isser, meaning, if someone is already Asur, let's say your brother is married now to a woman, that woman is already Asura to you. Suppose you now go ahead and you marry the sister of that woman, which is perfectly okay. Is the brother's wife now asura to you twice? Once because of an eshetach, once because she's a chotisha? Is there room for two isurim on the things? Now, this is a major machlokas about how we view the impact of isur on an object or on an individual. So if you hold any isur chal al isur, something is either asur or mutar. You can't say that, well, now it's doubly asur. What is that supposed to mean? It's doubly asur. So if it's something innate in the object of the individual, it makes no sense to say Yisur Chal Al Yisur. So what we thought that Rava was saying is that according to Beit Shammai, since clearly there are going to be tzorot, such as a case where he marries the Achot Isha, which is the case in the Pasuk, Achot Isha. Okay, so Achot Isha says Beit Shammai, come on, man, you're telling me that the meaning is litzor, and in the case of Yibum, you wouldn't be, she wasn't even Achot Isha. What do you mean she wasn't? I married this sister? No, but it doesn't matter because she was already married to your brother and therefore she was already a Asura because of being your brother's wife. So how in the world would she create a Asura if she doesn't even know it's to you? Right? Okay, so therefore, that says Beit Shammai, how could that be the meaning of Litzra? That's what we think that Rava means. And therefore we ask, I mean, that depends on the case, doesn't it? I mean, that's Tenach Echa the Nosa Meit, Vechakach Nosa Chai. Okay, you're right. In the case where your brother got married first, and then you went ahead and married the sister of the wife of the brother, the Torah wouldn't be referring to that case in Mitzvah. Certainly can't tell me the case doesn't exist, and that the Torah is ignoring the concept of Mitzvah because of this. I mean, why not the other way around? How about in the case of, there I understand that if the deceased brother got married first and only then the survivor gets married, there it makes sense to say lo at yisrach v'tishav v'chayla yisrashetach, that we would be left only with the yisrashetach, and now the achot isha wouldn't come along and be chal. Of course, that doesn't mean that we would in that case be miyabin the erva herself, because then we run into a catch 22. Because if we would then go ahead and be miyabin the erva itself, then at that moment there would be no achot isha, and there would be no eshet ach, so that she would automatically be an achot isha. But if she were an achot isha, then she would create a tzor. But there's any sechal alisa. So then let's say, okay, she's mutter. So we get into an endless loop. Wherever we get into an endless loop, we don't begin it. That's Tosis's explanation. So therefore, we're not discussing the tzorah. There's no way to, I mean, we're not discussing the erva herself, because the moment we'd be mater her, we'd have to b'aser her. Okay, so we're left with the situation in which she remains a surah because of being a brother's wife, eshetach. However, she will never be in a state of being achot isha to be mater the tzorah. Okay? Therefore, it says, Beit Shammai, how could the pasuk of the tzorah be referring to a non-existent case? She isn't an achot isha. But that's only if they get married in that order, asks the Gemara. How about if nasa chai v'achar kach nasa meit? How about if the surviving brother got married first? In which case, the isra of achot isha comes first, right? Then comes along the mate, the one who ultimately is deceased earlier, and he goes and gets married. In that case, achot isha kadim. Over there comes along achot isha and is chal first. So how are you saying that there's no such case? Says the Gemara, that's the whole point. That's the whole point, is that kivan de lo ati yisra eshetach v'chayla yisra achot isha, that was the point that Rava was making, the Yisr Chal on Yisr. He wasn't saying that the Yisr of Achot Ishto doesn't fall, he's saying that the Yisr of Eshet Ach doesn't fall. In other words, where is Yibum being defined? In a case where someone who is your brother's wife and is so defined as that relative to you is falling to you, the Yibum. But this brother's wife will not fall to you for Yibam because she is not a brother's wife. As far as the Torah is concerned, she is your wife's sister, not your brother's wife. Because we have to define her status, then she doesn't come under the category of Yibam any more than she would come under the category of Erva. For that reason. Should be another reason. Therefore, it says Beit Shammai, there's an innate contradiction. No matter how you read it, where do you get a case of a Tzarat Erva? Since in any event we're all agreed that the nature of a tzarat erva is not a communicatable erva that happens to be married to the same guy as the time that he's married to a relative of yours, like your daughter or your wife's sister, but rather someone who falls to you b'yibum in that state, how could she fall to you b'yibum? There is no way for her to fall to you. And if you're going to tell me, well, there is, I could have married her first. Okay, fine, you married her first, then she's not going to have, I mean, he married her first, then you got the problem of her not being your wife's sister. In which case, how could it be a tzora of someone who is not your wife's sister? Is that tzora to what? So no matter how you look at it, says Rav, if you could take all the arayas that are there, mishum kirva, there you don't even get into the question of the order of marriage. So no matter how you look at it, yisr chalal yisr is going to prevent an interpretation of the pasuk, a meaningful interpretation, that allows us to say that the litzror that occurs by achot isha is a litzror b'makom yibum. Maman afshar, at least in terms of tzora. Maman afshar. Either she's not a tzora serva, or there's no chi of yibum. But to say that she's a tzora serva b'makom yibum is impossible, because of ein yisachal alisa. Okay, now this is obviously taking a point of departure that is a tremendous leap in understanding the nature of Yibum and its relationship to Erva, you understand? Because what Rav is saying is that there's no din of Erva of being a brother's wife, there's no din of Yibum. That is the ultimate extension of the opening mission. I mean, as far as we were concerned, up till now, it was almost accidental. If there wouldn't have been a sense of erva, of a brother's wife, I would have said, gee, that would have been even better. So the Torah wants a brother to be making shem alachim. It unfortunately it happens to be incestuous on some level, but the Torah says it's worth it anyway, right? But now it turns out that the level of incest is the very thing that is mechayev. If there's no chiyuv because of the erva, we can't even look at her as a brother's wife as far as you're concerned. That is dramatically new. And it makes Rava's assumption of the interrelationship of the Chamesh Esrei Noshim in terms of Yibum to the whole concept of Arayas much more fundamental. The concept of Erava and Yibum, according to this, are intimately linked. I can't conceive of one without the other. If there weren't a concept of incest, there couldn't be a concept of Yibum. This is astonishing. Okay? This is part of the understanding of the relationship of Chagiga to Yevamos, in that the din of Ein Dorshin ba'arayot has to do with the idea, Sitre Arayot is the idea of Yibum, according to the Marsha. There's something about incest that is obviously good. We don't want to start telling people that, because who knows what they'll do with that information. So Ein Dorshin b'Sitre Arayot. Fine. Very much a Shvuas Sugya. So now, coming to back to the sugya, we're up to the next piece. The next piece describes the reaction of the Beit Shammai group versus the Beit Hillel group to various cases. So we said, in a case where there were cholzu, so then Beit Shammai would be poshlim in akuna, because according to Beit Shammai, you really do need chalitz of a tzoros erva. And the Beit Hillel says, what a joke. What do you mean, chalitza? You mean you went into the shoe store and she took off your shoe? What does that have to do with chalitza? Well, isn't this pshita? I mean, obviously, according to Beit Shammai, she's puzzled because it's a chalitza. And according to Beit Hillel, it's not a chalitza. I need a mishnah to tell me that? Pshita. Ah, but as we shall see, it isn't so simple at all in the end. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri gathered together a Beit Din to make a halacha that would prevent the breakdown between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in cases of a tzarat erva to be mechayev chalitza mitarabon. And therefore everybody at least would be doing the same thing. So even the Beit Hillel women would be getting chalitza in case of tzarat erva, and that way Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would at least not have problems of marital halacha. In the end, we didn't make that gezeira, as we're going to see tomorrow. But in any event, I might have thought that there is a din of chalitza min rabbanan, and even according to Beit Hillel, and if there is such a din, then obviously she would be tzula l'kuhuna, because we'd be mitakena chalitza, be the same din as any other chalitza, come mashbalan, to Beit Hillel makshirim, and according to them, the chalitza is an absurdity, and there was no basis at all, never an actual takana that would have turned that chalitza to something meaningful. Then it says, Nityabu, if they went ahead and they gave Yibum, so then according to Beit Hillel, Poslim, because after all, now means that she had a relationship with somebody to whom she is Asur, which creates a state of Zonah, she's not allowed now to go and to marry a Kohen, and according to Beit Shammai now, what do you mean? That's what she's supposed to do. I mean, if now her second husband dies, now she can get married to a Kohen. I mean, she's never did anything wrong. On the contrary, she was Moseret Nefesh to do things right. I mean, that for sure is obvious. How many times do you have to beat on a dead horse? We understand halacha. You told me there was a chiddush in chalitza because of the possibility that maybe there was a gzeira. What chiddush is there in Yibum? That's what you said. You said that according to Beit Shammai, she's highly Yibum. According to Beit Hillel, she's not. All of the other halachas follow automatically. You're not adding a single piece of information. Says the Gemara, you're right. We're not. But I did a ton of chotzer. Look, we're agreed that we did have to say what the din would be if she was choletzet. It's the derech of the Tana, once you raise the issue, to go through the alternative. So if she was choletzet, this is the din, that's a chiddush. If she was mitzabemet, obviously, this is the din. So sometimes we do say an obvious, just like a zuvain circle amarzu. Mishnas can be constructed with the obvious to maintain a certain parallelism and clarity. So that's what was done over here. Now, Tanan Hatam, we know, just having learnt the second Megillah, that Megillah has various times in which it can be read. So, depending on where you live, depending on when Shabbat comes out that year, Megillah can be read sometimes on the 11th, sometimes on the 12th of Adar, sometimes on the 13th of Adar, sometimes on the 14th, sometimes on the 15th of Adar, lo pachot v'lo yoter. And we learn to depend if you're B'nai Kfar, if you're B'nai Kfar, fine. Now, so what in the heck does that have to do with Yevamah as well? What happened is they were learning that Mishnah comes from Reish Lakish, says to Rabbi Yochanan, how is that possible? What in the world is the meaning of making a takana that basically splits up Klal Yisrael into different divisions? It's crazy. I mean, is there not an iser of a lo tidgodedu? Ikre kan, shall I not apply to this case of Purim? Lo tidgodedu. Lo tidgodedu means lo ta'asu agudot agudot. Do not make yourselves different groups practicing different halakhot. That's all we need. Soon we'll have Protestant Jews and the Catholic Jews, and I mean, this might have something to do with conservatives. Who knows what we'll have, right? So you're not allowed to do this. Wait. It says the Gemara, lo tidgodedu. Lo tidgodedu means don't make a cut in your skin over a dead relative. What the heck does that mean? It's saying, do not make yourself a tear in your skin. As we say, he tears his hair out. Somebody who is trying to show his pain and loss is over on an issue to your eyes. It doesn't say, what do you mean? But Rabbi Akiva was smacking himself after Rabbi Eliezer died. And it says he was bleeding. It says blood started to flow from the times. He couldn't control his passion at the loss of Rabbi Eliezer. Isn't that an issur d'oraisa? What do you mean you couldn't control your passion? It does explain over there. The only issur is al hamet, but on the loss of Torah, and that's clearly what he was talking about over there. Because he starts crying. Who's going to answer my questions now? Because I have nowhere to turn to. I have nobody to talk to. So that wasn't the mate, it was the loss of Torah. That, he says, is not where the Yisr is. The Yisr is on a mate. That's the Riz Teretz. But in any event, isn't that what Lo Tidgodedu means? No, says the Gemara. It is what Lo Tidgodedu means, but in order to tell me that, why do I need the word to be Lo Tidgodedu? It could have said Lo Tidgodedu. Do not make a Gedida. Do not make a Sarita in your skin. Lotitko to do is to make yourselves as a separate thing. You'll notice a very fascinating thing. It's absolutely fascinating that every word for making a sore on your skin also means becoming a separate group. It's astonishing. A chabura is a chabura. A tidgodedu is a godedu. A chavala is a chevel. Chevel nevi'im. Not only that, every kli that is used to make an impact in the sense of bashing somebody's head in also means a group. So you have a shevet. Shevet is a group, but also smashes you over that. You have a mater. Mater also can also be used if you need to hit somebody.
You say this is politics?
So that you have over here a fascinating verbal interrelationship of gedida to gedida, chavola to chavola, heaven and the chabura to chabura, and all of the other issues. But in any event, apparently it has a double meaning that touches very profoundly on the nature of that word. So it's not stam, we're saying it has an interesting pun. This is not a pun. Actually, no pun is really a pun, but this is certainly nothing that has to do with a pun. This has to do with the nature of the meaning in the underlying construction of language.
You suggesting the need for conformity to a certain degree?
You mean bash somebody who doesn't conform, huh?
Yeah,
that's what the shame it is.
There's a necessity.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of levels here. Which
is not politics on a singular level that moved up the word seem to
the complications of your statements are such that they create the divas in my mind.
They make it interesting, but it does
Not when they're not understandable. If you would speak in English, it would be okay.
I need to create a new language?
Please. So ask the Gemara, wait, so if it's coming to Tami Blo Titgo to do, which would mean do not make yourselves into separate divisions, so Imakulavach Yudiata. And maybe that's what it means. Maybe it doesn't mean don't tear your skin. No, because in order to do that, lema kra lo tigodu, or lo titgodu. Tigodu or titgodu is the same thing. Lehitame. Same thing over here, tigodu. But some change the gears to titgodu, which is really the same thing. It isn't even necessary. But in any event, why the double dalet? Titgodu. So titgodu, there's two separate things. Not to make yourself an aguda, not to be migadeh as a verb into your skin. So we have both the reflexive and the transitive in the same word. Lo titgo didu, which says do not make it yourself and do not do it to your skin. So that means that we have both levels in the pasuk. So shema mina, therefore comes to me also lo achudiyat. So lo titgo didu, shema mina tarti. By the way, Rav Meisher Zatzal brought a raya from this Gemara. That it must be a diorita mamish to have different minhagim in the same place. Because otherwise you're saying maybe the whole pasuk is coming for that. I mean, if it's really just an asmakta, you don't ask the question. I mean, yeah, it's a cute thing. Don't make groups. I mean, come on. You certainly don't mean that's what it's really coming to say, la fuke the pshat in the pasuk. You see that the Gemara holds no. They're both exactly the same level of the pshat. Emalach yudiyata means maybe this is the only thing that it means. It must be a diorita. And the truth is, the Rishon was speaking out too before that, but he hadn't seen it. Fine. In any event, now that we're satisfied that my kasha is a kasha, how about addressing it? So, what's the story about Purim? How then did they make a takana on Purim to have different groups keeping different halachas? On my list, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, man, is this the first time you ever thought of this? I mean, what, you know, Ad kan lo shanita makom shenahagu la'asot melacha b'arvei psachim. The tension between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was clearly already built. We know that it reached the crescendo at the end of their both wiping each other out. It's clear from the conversation over here that there was already an element of tension, right? So Rabbi Yochanan says that this is a kasha. I mean, you could have asked it much more intelligently. Well, you never reach the Mishnah that says Mokam Shinogu Lasot Malakav Bave Psachim At Khatsot Osim Mokam Shinogu Shalolasot Ain Osim. I mean, that's like an old story. Why is that an older story than the Gzeira Purim? What do you mean it's an old story? Because I mean you could easily say that when it comes to Purim the whole thing is really not even a kasha. What kind of kasha is that? If you make the takana originally that this is the din as it applies here and the din as it applies here, so then it's not a lotit godu. The din of lotit, the truth is Rabbi Yochanan never does answer Reish Lakish's question. So there's a lot of discussion among the poskim. So what indeed is the answer? So again, the simplest answer, which is as the Bogan Avram brings it, lahalacha, because it's right, okay, places of different menorgim and so on. The classic answer is that the only time you say lotit godu is when each faction believes that the other faction is wrong. So then you're saying, how are you doing that? That's not the right thing to do. And the other one's looking at the other and saying, that's not the right thing to do. So as if you're wearing tefillin during Chol HaMoed, and the other people are saying, you're violating the din of the oath. You're not allowed to wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. But the other people are going without tefillin and saying, what? You're davening without tefillin? You're not allowed to daven without tefillin. Now it's time to put on your tefillin. So over there you get into questions of what to go to make sure that the kotel remains choruv. But the Shiloh of a year of Purim. I mean, somebody's going to say, the Ben Kvar is not supposed to be reading. I mean, if you were the Ben Kvar, that's when you would be reading. And if the Ben Kvar moves to your town, he'll be reading like you. So it obviously has nothing to do with Machloket. Fine. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, this is where you got to come to ask me the Kasha Lo Tigo to do. You have a better place to ask that Kasha. To which Reish Lakish responds, I'm talking intelligently, and you're telling me this is not sensical, right? That you call a raya? I'm talking to you. Amina lecha ana isura. I'm telling you that there's a place. Here's an isur. The Omer of Shema Barav, Omer of Yochanan, You can't simply choose one of these times to read your Megillah. L'kayemet yimei ha-purim bizmanehem. Zmanim ha-arvei tiknu lehem chachamim. So that means that this is Mi'ikar HaDin. And you bring me a raya, you say, oh, why didn't you ask Kasha from the Mokum Shenargu? You bring me a minhag. People understand the fact that people have different minhagim. And fine. So here we're talking about one place is Machmir. Fine. So when you go to that place, you act like that. It's nothing to do with the halacha. It's just a minute to be Machmir. Here I'm talking about a takon of different Torahs. You live in Yerushalayim, you have one Torah, and you live somewhere in Modi'in, you have another Torah. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Now, you got an answer, Rabbi Yochanan never even bothers answering. Again, because apparently he held that this was obvious. He asks Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean a minhaga? That's a minhaga. In that issue of doing malach on Erev Pesach also gets into questions of Isura. Awesome, Labi Surah. Vatnan. Does it not say that Beit Shammai Osrin, who Beit Hillel Matirin, when it comes to the night of Bedikas Chometz, the night of the Bedikas Chometz, if you're doing like one, then you're being over on an Aguda. How can you have all of Klal Yisrael broken up into factions of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? I don't understand, asks Reish Lakish. Says Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean? If a guy doesn't do malacha, so what's the problem? He's not doing malacha because he doesn't have what to do. That's not doim elashtei torot. Because you're going to say, oh, look at this, here's Klal Yisrael. Some people doing work, some people not doing work. Work, walk out on any day into any street. Some people doing work, some people not doing work. This guy has what to do, this guy doesn't have what to do. That doesn't blare out to you as a hitgodedut of acting with two tyrants. It's just part of the way life is. So nothing there is bedavka lo tidgodet. All right. How about our Mishnah? Beit Shammai matirin atzerot la'achin, Beit Hillel osrin. Now that's pretty much two tarot, if you ask me. Some people are saying that this woman gets yibum, and somebody's saying, no, she's supposed to go marry whoever she wants. Whatever she does, it's a different Torah. So why don't you ask me from that, says Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, says Reish Lakish. Ah, come on, man. Me savat asu Beit Shammai. I can be very angry. What do you think? That because Beit Shammai held this, that they're matir and erava, you think that they actually went ahead and were miyabim arayas? Lo asu Beit Shammai can be very angry. It was just theoretical. They would never actually be matir this erava. Was Rabbi Yochanan said nonsense? Asu v'asu, they certainly did. This was the halacha. They did it. They passed it for others to do it. That's the asu v'asu. They did it. The talmidim did it. Anybody who asked them, halacha did it. And the truth is, with plukta the Rav and Shmuel, this question itself is a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav amar lo asu beit shemai kedivrayim, and Shmuel amar asu v'asu. But I'd just like to understand how that works. At what point in history are we talking about? Amat. Well, we know that there was a bat call that came out and said that the halacha is kedivrei Beit Hillel. So, I mean, are we talking about before the bat call? Kodem bat call. So why in the world wouldn't they do what they passed? I don't understand. My time of the mandi omer lo asu. Why would they not have done the halacha l'shitata? Elo, you're talking about Liachar Bat Kol. I mean, if the Bat Kol came out and said halacha is like Beit Hillel, so then why did they violate that halacha? My time of the Madiyom Rasu. That's no question. That's no question, because Ibaitem Akoda Bat Kol, Ibaitem Liachar Bat Kol. Look, when the Machlokas could be in either direction, Ibaitem Akoda Bat Kol, I'll tell you what's going on over here. What's going on is like this. Uchagon de Beit Hillel Ruba. The machlokas was as follows. Beit Hillel is the rov. Now, l'man de'omer lo asu, why would Beit Shammai not have kept the halacha aliba de shitatam? Because Beit Hillel is the rov, and they also agree that you should follow the rov. Whereas man de'omer asu, ki azlina bataruba echad ki adadin hinu. The other man de'omer says, no, Beit Shammai insisted on ignoring the rov. Because when is it that we follow a rove is when both sides are equally intelligent. But Beit Shammai were more, actually, were more chachomim, mechadidei tzvei. They were basically smarter and wiser than Beit Hillel. Therefore, they held, you go according to the halacha of those who understand better. Now, according to the halacha of the rove. Now, this is clearly not, as the Chazon Ish points out, it's clearly not a din in a Beis Din. In a Beis Din, we never give a dayan a test and define his level of reliability vis-a-vis the other dayanim and then add up the points of intelligence, knowledge, and so on. I mean, there's no such halacha. There's a pasuk like a rove. We don't give more points to the Av Beit Din than we give to anybody else. It's a question of rove kolot, and that's it. What we're talking about over here is a klal in piska, not a klal in halakha following Beis Din. The acharei rabim lahatot, that's a din in Beis Din. The Torah says, just like following the rove, I'm telling you, in terms of eating, you're going to follow the rove. It's kosher, not kosher, you found it. You know. That's a din in the Torah. Don't start talking to me logic. Beis Din pasuk, it's a din, this is how a Beis Din works. There's no arguing with this is how a Beis Din works. But we're talking about something else. Something along the lines of the psak, such as where you have a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, you paskin like Rav and Isser, and you paskin like Shmuel and Mav. There's a klali piska. A klala psak is that in general, if most of the chachomi are paskining one way, you follow most of the chachomi, not because it's a din in Beis Din, but because it's just a logical way to go. So now the question is it a logical way to go when most people are not as bright as the people who are telling you the other way to go? Or is that also a psak, a way to follow Piskei Halachas? That's something else. It's nothing to do with the Din of Rov, the Klal. So over here, since it's a Mechadidei Tzvei, the Sefer Chazon Ish learns, and there's again basis to this in the Rishonim, so since it's a Mechadidei Tzvei, they held that they should follow their own halacha. Or, the Ibait Ema, Liachar Batko. It could be talking about even after the Batko. By the way, again, the question over here is, are you telling me that somebody that holds himself that halacha has to be X, Y, and Z, that he's not supposed to do that halacha because there's a rove, chachorim, that say otherwise? That's insane. If Beit Shammai holds that you have to take care of this woman because she's chayeves and yibum, what are they supposed to say? Well, you know, Beit Hillel is the rove, you don't have to worry about it. Understand, I know they're wrong. What do you mean you don't have to take care of it? The question over here is not what they would do, as we'll see in a moment from another example. The question over here is what they would teach, how they would set up what they did, and it's, that's a different issue. I'm not obligated to fix the world. If I know that a halakha is this, and the issue falls to me, obviously I'll have to do it. I can't follow somebody else's stupid psak when they're wrong. You're telling me a guy in the street who doesn't know what the psak is, the klalim of piskei halakhas are said to the guy in the street who doesn't know what the halakha is. It's not said to someone who knows what the halakha is. The person's supposed to follow his understanding of the halakha. Not only that, but Talmidei Beit Shammai are supposed to follow Beit Shammai anyway. That's not the issue. The issue is how do you set up what they did in, giving out little pamphlets about this is the halacha, that's the halacha, when you know perfectly well that there's other groups giving out other pamphlets. That's all we need. Next thing you know, you're going to have 40 different pamphlets coming into show. Then what happens? No, that's the next question. Or we could say, might be talking about even after Basco. So the man yomer lo asu, the reason that they would not follow their own psak is, look, you can't argue with a Basco, you know, I mean, we'll go along with Beit Hillel. But man yomer asu, that would be basically the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, what's it the Basco's business to tell us how to act? In Mashkichim Batko, instead, that's all we need now, is to start listening to heavenly voices. Good Lord. So we don't pay any attention to heavenly voices. And therefore, mind your own business, basically. Lo bashamayimi, and so on. We don't care about baskos. And we do what we consider to be the halacha, and that's exactly what Beit Shammai did. So now, getting back to my question. So mind yomer asu. Isn't there a problem of lo tidgodeh do? Forget now about Megillah, and the truth is we never end up getting back to Megillah, as I pointed out to you. And that's how we get to the various terutzim about Megillah. By the way, it's a very cute Meshech Chochma that says that when they were koveya the zmanim of the Megillah, so it says that they sent out divrei shalom ve'emet. The Meshech Chochma says that's the point. Divrei shalom ve'emet that were zmaneim was to make it clear that this was the original takana for all who live in that place. And therefore, it wouldn't become questions of different minhagim and people thinking the other guy is wrong. That's why it says divrei shalom ve'emet. We are hereby making this takana so that the variations are built into the original halach and therefore are not a problem of lo tidgodeh do. So they become words of peace and truth. So you can have different approaches and still be peaceful about it. That's peace and truth.
And the other pasuk is the opposite order. Emes b'yav shalom ahevo. The opposite order. Emes b'yav shalom emes.
Since it's shalom, it's emes, as we're going to see here. So that's the sugya in Sanhedrin. So, but what about the case over here where they're arguing about sarot habat and so on? Omar abaya ki amrina lo tidgodeh do kegon shtei batei dinim b'ir achat. Look. If you would have had two court, two core or two look? That's the question.
Two court.
Oh, you got it. Two courts. But a court is approximately a look. The question is, do you mean
with half a gallon?
Half a gallon.
What's the two quarts?
We're not talking about
two quarters. We're talking about an imperial gallon.
Two quarters.
So when do we say lo tidgodeh do? It's okay, we're just driving Richie crazy. When do we say lo tidgodeh do? Well, you've got two batei dinim in one town, and this one is saying X, and the other one is saying minus X. I mean, that's like, that's crazy. You can't have a thing like that. I mean, that would be like building a shul like Maharaj Shah or something. That was for the transfer group. Exactly. So that would be lo tidgodeh do. Halala moru kedivrei Beit Shammai, halala moru kedivrei Beit Hillel. Avos shtei batei dinim b'shtei ayarot. I mean, if you a different city, as long as the city is consistent, let lamba. I mean, Rava, I don't understand what you mean, different cities. I mean, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, everybody is aware of the machlokas. Everybody knows who's doing what. And that's always k'shtei batei dinim b'irachat damim. And that's the whole point of the machlokas. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is that it's devastating. You've got basically Klal Yisrael being split into two completely different groups. What kind of answer is that? Elo Amar Rava, the truth is, we don't even have a problem of different groups. Maybe the point is that ki amrina lo tidgodeh do is if you've got a bezdin, a single bezdin in a year achat, in which you've got some people, when you ask them what the din is, plag morim k'divrei Beit Shammai, plag morim k'divrei Beit Hillel. But if you've got a different group, shtei batei dinim b'ir achat, so these follow this kila, this is part of that kila, maybe that's not a problem. But tashma, let's see. In the commotion, Rebbe Eliezer, are you kortim etzim lasot pchamim b'shabbat lasot barzal? Remember, Rebbe Eliezer Shita, we had back in Shabbos, is that even makshire mitzvah are also going to be docha Shabbos, and therefore, according to him, if you needed a blade to do a brit milah, so then you would actually make the carbon to make the steel, to make the blade. In other words, no matter how many steps back you've got to go, you'll go back in order to do whatever is needed. And in his city, they actually did that. B'mekomosh, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who held that there is no issur of eating chicken with milk, in his town, they used to have delicious stewed in milk chicken. Ayo, basar, ov. But you see, that that's only the Mekomo Shel Reb Eliezer in. They used to do this. They used to make a blade on Shabbos. Tosfos again seems to be bothered by this issue. I mean, obviously they did. What is it supposed to do? Not do a bris milah? And what is it supposed to mean? Why would that be more important? We don't have bris milah because the lot is going to do. The Tosfos understands that the idea over here is they brought themselves to do this as the chavivas of the mitzvah lechatchila. They weren't mocked but the see to it that they would have and no adarava. Show the chavivas of milah. I mean, adarava, be chayshish for lot is going to. But only b'makom shereb liyezer, b'makom moshe Rabbi Akiva, who argued on that din lo, the Tanya, klal amar Rabbi Akiva, kol melachashev shala sotah me'arev Shabbat, eno docheta Shabbat. And what is your question? I might you have to, what are you asking me? I said, if it's different cities, it's not a problem. So you come along and you say, oh, isn't this a problem in the city of Rabbi Eliezer, but not in the city of, that's what I just said. Yeah, you know he's right. The Ka'ari Lamakar, what kind of crazy question is that? What was he thinking? No, because, I mean, it's not like a Daita Ramina that Mishum Chumra de Shabbat ke Makom Echad. I mean, people have a certain level of tolerance for deviations from what they consider to be the halacha. When you're coming to Chilul Shabbos and you're starting to throw stones already, now you think maybe that's already considered to be because of the Chumra. It's as if it's all in one place. Everybody's aware of what's going on. It will create tremendous machlokas. And there is real gedida. So that's just, okay, kamashba no mikomot. People are willing to tolerate a difference because he's a yekka. That's how many hours he waits, you know. So it's a sad question. You come from a different mokum. I understand a mokum is a mokum. Toshma, okay, let's take a look at this. How about Rabbi Avuhu? Now, Rabbi Avuhu, when he came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's town, so he, avimetato shiraga, he would carry around a lamp that had gone out on Shabbos, because Rabbi Yeshua held like Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't hold a mitzvah. Says, once it goes out, what's the problem? But when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's town, who didn't hold of Rabbi Shimon, an asered mitzvah, then he didn't carry a lamp on Shabbos, huh? Mike Anderson, what's the cashier? What are you asking? I said to you, different towns are different strokes. I mean, lo aminim b'komot shani? What are you asking me? One is Rabbi Yeshua's town, one is Rabbi Yochanan's town. No, I'm just curious. I mean, Rabbi Avu, I understand. Was the halacha one way or not? I mean, you're telling me now that the halacha now actually varies in the town? Is that the point? How did Rabbi Avu, how was his concept of halakha so fluid that it was defined by the place? And mikomot shiny only means that we tolerate different piskei halakhot in different cities and don't view it as a bezdin that's falling apart. But how does one person's mind not fall apart by following one din here and another din there? That doesn't make any sense. No, Rabbi Avu himself held that it was mutter. He held like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, okay? Now, so therefore, when he was in the town of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what's the problem? There's no such thing as muktzov, you're not to carry a lamp around. But when he came to Rabbi Yochanan, since it was Rabbi Yochanan's town, so lo havi metal to bishum kvodo to Rabbi Yochanan. He actually, because Rabbi Yochanan's covered, he wouldn't carry. Even on his own. Ha'ika Shama, but what about his valet? I mean, there's two ways of understanding this. Many of the Rishonim learn, including the Rajba, Ha'ika Shama means, but what about the mind of the valet? That's going to be ripped to shreds. I mean, here he sees the master doing one thing one place, one thing another place. He's going to view that as hypocrisy. What's he going to think? How's he going to understand it? Or others learn, Rashi seems to learn, the way Rashi's taken to mean, is that since there's going to be a problem of the valet carrying around a lamp on Shabbos in Rabbi Yochanan's town, and everyone would then understand that he's expressing his master's halacha, he should have always been careful not to carry a lamp for fear of coming to visit Rabbi Yochanan and having people find out that he doesn't hold of Rabbi Yochanan. But in any event, answers the Gemara, Demadele Lashami explains to the valet that this is a shita, but he's honoring Rabbi Yochanan. What's the problem? Toshma. I got another thing for you, okay? How about the bride? Let's take a look at our mission. It says, even though, according to Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, we have opposite halachot, and therefore some women will be asurot lekunar, alibra Beit Shammai, alibra Beit Hillel, mutarot, alibra Beit Shammai, lo nimnu Beit Shammai, minisan Hashem Beit Hillel, velo Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. Now, here it expresses that they would each marry each other's. See, if the shita that says that Beit Shammai never, this is theoretical, I mean, but in terms of the actual psak, they wouldn't do something to be over on the psak of the rov or of the bat kol. Okay, that would explain why they were allowed to marry into the other's family. Because they knew that it was all theory. But in practice, the women of Beit Shammai were all Kshirot. So then they would marry into the family. But if you're going to tell me the way Rabbi Yochanan was learning, or the way Shmuel was learning, that Asu v'Asu. So, I mean, I understand one direction over here makes sense. Beit Shammai would marry women for Beit Hillel, because what's the worst that's going to happen? Is that according to Beit Hillel, that Sarah went out without Yibum and without Chalitza and married somebody else. Okay, so she did an Isser. But there's no Mamzerut from that Isser. So I don't have to be Monea from marrying her daughter. So over there it's Bnei Chai Be'lavim Ninu. But how could Beit Hillel marry a woman from the family of Beit Shammai? According to Beit Hillel, they might have had children from a Tzoras Erva, who is an Isser Chorus, because she's an Eishes Ach Shaloba Maka Mitzvah, in which case the child is a Mamzeret, and here Beit Hillel is taking the Kala Noah V'chassuda, who is a Mamzeret, down to the Chuppah. So how could they possibly marry into a family like that? I can explain that. So it must be that actually Beit Shammai never did what they thought they ought to do. Maybe Beit Hillel holds that the only time there's a mamzer is from Isurim of Chiyuv Mita and not Chiyuv Karet. And Eshet Ach is only a Chiyuv Karet. So therefore, they held, okay, look, you know, the mother went to sleep with the wrong guy, but Lamaisa, the child, is not a mamzer. So we can marry into a family like that. But that's not true. Because, you know, Amar Reb Elazar, the way Reb Elazar put it, is that modim even though, according to Beit Shammai, there was a machlokas, but they still agree that even if it's a Yevamah Lashuk, at least it doesn't create Mamzerut. They both agree that Mamzerut comes only from an Isur Karet. There's no Isur Karet. There's an only an Isur Lav. Fine. But meanwhile, there is a problem of Mamzerut. El Alav Shmamino Lo Asu. So apparently, Beit Shammai did not follow their own halakha, because otherwise, Beit Shammai would never have married into the family. Lo, says the Gemara, Leolam Asu. And in fact, they had lots of mamzerot in their family, according to Beit Hillel. But if Beit Hillel would want to go ahead and marry one of those girls, they would tell Beit Hillel, that's not the girl you want to marry. And the truth is, by the way, you see from here, very interesting thing, that you are not mechuyev to tell somebody that is against your shita. Because this wasn't the chiyuv. This was going to bring them right up to teach you that they were ba'achva, bereus, and so on. If somebody wants to eat something which you hold as mutter and they hold as asr, you're not mechuyev to tell them, oh, by the way, according to your shita, this is asr. Really mechabit the guy and hold that, you know, his shita ought to be respected. However, you cannot Exactly. Why would you have to tell them? It's not l'fni. If according to you, there's no issue. So what's the problem? However, you cannot give the guy iser l'shitas. So notice the question over here is, if Beit Hillel select a woman from Beit Shammai, then Beit Shammai would be modia. You can't go ahead and... That's because of another reason. His name is Das. You're giving him, he's assuming that you're giving him something that is kosher for him. That the Gemara Chulin says you can do. So you can't give a guy a woman who is actually Asura to him and pretend that it's Muteris to him. But over here, what we must be referring to, according to those Shitas, do you have a refill that's just plain hot water? He's in hot water. Okay. So maybe that's what it's referring to. Their modem, and by the way, Akhenaten is starving. You know what? It's reasonable that that's what we're talking about over here, because the Mishnah continues on to say, "Tani Sefer, Kol Ha'Taharot V'Kol Ha'Tameot Shayu Elu Metaharim V'Elu Metamim Lo Nimneu Osim Taharot Elu Al Gabei Elu." So you couldn't have said that they would have not borrowed each other's pots because they're afraid that maybe it's Tamei L'Shitasa. Now, if you're going to tell me that they were notifying one the other, that's why they wouldn't hesitate to borrow a pot. I mean, Beit Shammai, I understand. Now, there's two different Gersos over here. Our Gersos is Bishlema Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai would borrow for Beit Hillel because Beit Hillel was Lechumra when it came to the dinim of Tyrus and Timaeus. Because the Mishnah lists in Idyos two cases where Beit Hillel is Lechumra. Tosfos says this makes no sense at all. 90% of the cases, even in Tumah v'Taharah, Beit Shammai is Lechumra. So why would we say that Beit Hillel is Lechumra? And the cases of Beit Hillel are rare cases, which we don't have to normally worry about, are going to occur when you're borrowing a pot. Okay, but let's assume for a moment that the Beit Hillel is Lechumra. So Beit Shammai would not worry about taking from Beit Hillel. The Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai Taharas Ninu. But how could Beit Hillel take a pot from Beit Shammai? Lama lo nimnu tarot to Beit Shammai la Beit Hillel are tumeot, unless we understand that they were modia one to the other. What the halacha is, the modilu shmamina. Understand? Why is this a better raya than the first case? It's a worse raya. I mean, you're telling me the case of Tsaras. I mean, that's serious halachas over there being modia. Okay, something modia, not to marry a mamzeres. I mean, good. I mean, to tell me to be modia, oh, by the way, the pot is tummy. And then, okay, probably he's borrowing it because he's machmer to eat his chulin b'tayr anu. His chulin's tore enough for us. It'll be tore enough for him. Whatever. So why, this is a raya. Am I umid ha'akmiyah? Why is this a better raya than the first case of the mumodia? No, because ma'odetei metzora kola yisra. You see, you could say that, why does it say lo nimnu? Because these are questions. I mean, look, nowadays we find out what nursery school they went to find out if it was firm enough to pass on the shidduch. So Koshike, you'll find out if they came from a tzora, I mean, it's a mamzeres, that already, even in those days, you could probably find out. So people know about it. So kola isla, I mean, not the same kol as Rachmana Litzlan, the wrong nursery school, creates today, but epis a kol it created. So maybe they relied, Beit Hillel, on the fact that they could find out if she's a mamzeres. But it doesn't mean that Beit Shammai would tell them. But I mean, what are you going to find out, that a pot is tummy? I mean, how are you going to find out that a pot is tummy? Must be that they relied on Beit Shammai to tell them. That's the point. So tzora kola isla. Kamashmalan, Gufa, looking back on Rabbi Elazar's Maimaf, Abishanachuk Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Betzarot, Modim She'in Mamzer Elamish Yisro Yisur Erva, V'Onush Karet. When you're saying Modim, who's Modim to who? What, Beit Shammai is Modim to Beit Hillel? I mean, obviously Beit Shammai is Modim to Beit Hillel, that if a woman goes out without getting a Tzoras Erva, goes out without getting Chalitz, without getting Yibum, there's no problem because there's not even Karet. It's Bnei Chayvei Lavim. So they're Ksherim completely. No, the Chiddush is that Beit Hillel is Modeh to Beit Shammai. What do you mean that Beit Hillel is Modeh to Beit Shammai? Beit Hillel is not Modeh to Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai are saying that a Tzaras Erava, who remains, according to Beit Hillel, an Isser Karet, has a child, and it's not a mamzer. It is a mamzer. That is goofy. Goofy chayvet kriyatati. So what are you telling me? But there might only a chiyav kares. And that's the case we're talking about. No, it's talking about only Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. You're right. It's talking about saying Beit Shammai is more to Beit Hillel, that even though she's a yavam alashuk and she's a surah balav, she doesn't create a mamzer. So you'd say, isn't that obvious? No, it's not obvious. Because there is a shita. Lafukim and Rabbi Akiva. We've already had Rabbi Akiva a few times, whose machshiv every iser lav in the Arayas as an actual iser of Erava. So he says that yesh mamzer mechay v'lavin. Rabbi Loz's Bryce says kamashvam de'ein mamzer mechay v'lavin. Okay, so we still don't have a clear indication about whether asu or lo asu. It could be that asu, and they let the other side know. Tashma. Even though there are major arguments between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in both directions, of Kula and Chumra on both sides, when it comes to Tzarot, okay, we know we've had the case of Tzarot, when it comes to Achayot, that we're going to see later on, is the case of two women that are Zekukot simultaneously, who are sisters, what's the din over there in terms of Zika, D'Oraisa, D'Rabbanan. And in the case of a get yashan, where somebody had written out a get, and then he had once again been alone with his wife, and the question is, do you need now to rewrite the get? Or in cases of safek eshet ish, there's two possible explanations. Let's take the one that Tosis is ready to agree on, which is every mima enet, since the kedushin is always basically dependent on what's going to be at the end, because retroactively she could cancel out the Ishut, so then that's always a suffix Eshet Ish. There's also other cases that are similar. Let's say a Shchiv Mira gives a get, somebody's on his deathbed, he gives a get and he says, if I die from this illness, let the get be Chal now. So the question is, okay, if it's Chal now, I mean, if he dies from it, then she's now not an Eshet Ish. But what if he doesn't? So now she is an Eshetish. Okay, Suffolk Eshetish. Furthermore, they also argue about someone who gave his wife a get and then makes a little meeting with her in a love-in. So he's Lanaim of a Pundik. And the question is, I mean, we're assuming that they slept together, but the question is, was it L'shem Kedushin or not? There too, it's a Machlok, which basically says you need another get. If you don't need another get, then you're talking about an Eshetish. And then there's also Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about what the value is of the money that you get for Kedushin. According to Beit Shammai, it's silver. Kesef is a dinner. Shavet Kesef is Shavet dinner. According to Beit Hillel, as we pass, it's a pruta, which is copper. Or a Shavet pruta. Anyways, according to this, it would be immense nafkaminas. Because according to Beit Hillel, she's married to A, and according to Beit Shammai, she's married to B. All the children being mamzer, and one according to the other, or get Yasha, the same thing, she's married to him, and so on and so forth. I mean, these are immense questions. Nonetheless, lo nimnu Beit Shammai mi nisan Hashem mi Beit Hillel, v'lo Beit Hillel mi Beit Shammai, lelamdecha shechiba v'reyut noagim ze b'ze. This teaches us that they always treated each other with love, concern, and mutual respect. L'kayim ma shenemar ha'emet v'ha'shalom ha'elu. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not that they didn't worry about the other one's tzak. They did. Nimnu, actually, they would not marry into each other's family. But only min avadai. Only cases where there was a vadai iser, but not where things were based on a safek. So some of those cases are iserei safek. This is what we think now. For instance, the guy gave his wife a get, and now he meets her in this hotel. We're not sure 100% whether he was Makadish or whether he was just sleeping with her. Okay, I mean, those are sveikas. So they weren't makbid on that, but they were makbid on the mamzerut. No, wait. He amit b'shlema asuz, and now we got a riot. If you tell me that Beit Shammai actually followed through with their own halachot, so those things that are vadai, like a tzara that got yibum, that's definitely mamzerut. So that's why Beit Hillel would have to be careful not to marry those girls, because Nimnu. But if you're going to tell me Lo Asud, and anyway, Beit Shammai was only paskening a theoretical psak, so then why couldn't Beit Hillel? I mean, what's the problem? Am I Nimnu? Oh, come on. Do you think you understood what he just said? Can we please think about this for a moment, Tisbra? Let's think about this, please. What? Nina Midyasu. Let's say that, yes, the din is, they went ahead and they did exactly what they passed him. So, I mean, I understand that Beit Hillel are not going to marry into the girls of Beit Shammai because it's a chiyuv of Croesus and their mamzerim to Beit Hillel. Why would Beit Shammai be Nimna from Beit Hillel if they're chayvei lavim and they're sharing? That's kiyomer nachra yisrael nitzracha ela letzara atzma. We're talking about over here when it says they were nimnaim. It meant that Beit Shammai would not marry a tzaras habas. That's all that it meant. They would require chalitza because of the nisidiraisa. So that they're going to take somebody that they saw was matir to the shuk, and they would say, "Oh, look at this. The woman is muteris the shuk. It's nisidiraisa. We're not talking about mamzeris, the daughter of that woman. That wasn't the point. The point was the woman herself." Forget about the Isra of Mamzeris. Well, they're going to take somebody that's an Isra of Diraisa? That's the same as Mamzeris. The woman herself is a Suffolk Diraisa of Mamzeris. So that's the same, it's equivalent to Mamzeris, Isra Lot. So the Yavam al-Ashok, what does that have something to do with Karis? So we're talking about the Tzara Atzma. Al-Hinami, what he said over there is that's what we're talking about. The Tzara Atzma, so what it says, they were Nimnaim. Of course, Beit Shammai had to be careful not to take a Tzara because she was an Issa D'Oraisa, that's all. So, and what's the nafka meaning between a Vadai and a Safik? Marshalim and a Vadai, that's an Isser. I don't understand. Safik Nami Isurahu. The Safik is the same problem, isn't it? You hold Beit Hillel, she needs a get, where she slept with him in the hotel. So therefore you're going to say, well, it's okay, according to Beit Shammai. I understand. If you're right, then this is a mamzer. So then it's also. So, what are you saying? So obviously you misunderstand Rabbi Shimon. You're right. Lo tema minasa fake elayma minastam. The word safek never appeared here. What Rabbi Shimon was saying is that if a woman was not known to be the daughter of one of these Yisr cases, they didn't ask. That's what it means. If it was, they didn't marry her. If it wasn't known, they didn't ask. Because they understood that if it was in fact the wrong girl, they would be told. They don't have to ask, what heksher is your food? And what heksher is your daughter? If there would have been a problem, they would have been informed that there was a problem. And therefore, if you're going into the guy's house and he's feeding you, you don't have to ask him what heksher it is. He wouldn't give you something that is not kosher. So, demodio parshe. So then what's the chiddush? The what? So you're telling me the same thing. So my kamashva. The ahava v'reyut nohagim zebizeh. You're telling me that they respected each other. That's what it said before. Hainu reisha. You're right. I'm not adding anything. I'm bringing in this piece of that's said by Rabbi Shimon to tell me that the whole braita was said by Rabbi Shimon. The kula Rabbi Shimoni. So basically in the end, we don't have a raya now about whether asu or lo asu. All we know is that you had a right to rely on the other person's shita because you had a right to rely on their respect in your shita. And so maybe you would find out. The interesting thing is that the Silsa Sharim learns that the meaning of the Mishnah in Brachos, in which Rabbi Tarfa was machmer on himself, because he wanted to read Kriyat Shema, Aliba to Beit Shammai. So therefore, he almost got killed by muggers because he lied down and said, choke them. So they said to him, you deserve to be killed by muggers. What kind of business is that being machmer like Beit Shammai? He said, well, there's a problem being machmer. Says the Beit Shammai, that's exactly the point. That anybody who's not following Halacha has got to use his brain. What is the bigger, that's the part of Mishkala Chassidut. Chassidut means not to follow Halakha, but then it requires judgment. What are you going to be causing greater tikkun, or what are you going to be causing greater heres? So So since the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was so devastating for Klal Yisrael, if we finally got to a point that we can all agree that the Halacha is Beit Hillel, that's all we need, are schmoes going around being machmer like Beit Shammai. So a guy like that should drop dead. That's what they were telling him. God, that's a chumrah. That's not a chumrah. That's an attack on the integrity of Klal Yisrael. That's how he actually brings this as one of the prime examples of Mishkal HaChassidut. Of course, another famous example, which again is trampled over in the most astonishing way, is he brings a raya from the population of Shevet Levi. The population of Shevet Levi was much lower than any other Shevet. So Chazal say the reason it was lower is because Shevet Levi was always around the Beis HaMikdash, and they would fight with each other for the honor of doing this and doing that and being closer to the Aron. And because of that, they would get into these fights, which was a zilzol in the covet of the Aron, and therefore they would all drop dead. So they had a very low population. This is a medrash. So the Mesil Zisharim brings this, you see. They think that they're fighting with each other as a covet atayra, and to show the chavivis of the Aron, and Lamaisa, they were chayav misa. I won't say which Hasidim, but there are certain Hasidim who have special clothing for the Tish. Why do they have special clothing for the Tish? Because since they claw at each other and tear the clothing, for the Chavivas of being closer to the Aron was the Rebbe, so they don't want to tear their good clothes on Shabbos, so they have special fighting clothes on Shabbos. Exact case that he uses for Mishkal HaChassidut became the Minhag HaChassidim. It's astounding. What's that?